talked about the two stores, the Bog store and the Smith store in town.
Yeah.
If you couldn't find what you wanted to buy there, where else would you have to go to shop? Central?
Or Seneca.
Or Seneca. What about shops over at Clemson?
Well, there were some stores over there too, yes. There had the community store over there, operated by Mr. Samuel Evans.
Who lived in Calhoun?
He was another resident of Calhoun. And Major Abbott ran I believe his was mostly shoes and clothing. But he had a store, and he was brother-in-law to Mr. Claude Boggs.
And did he live in Calhoun?
No, I believe he lived at Clemson. I really don't remember where Mr. Abbott lived.
I imagine most of the stores around Clemson served primarily student needs at that time.
Yeah. And then when we first came here, there was another old gentleman, Martin, mm-hmm. that ran a store there. It was in that triangle there. I believe it was in the triangle where one goes back of the Baptist Church and Clemson Avenue goes toward Calhoun.
That would be just north of Judge Keller's store.
Yes.
Across from Brent.
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently he was one of the very early store managers in Clemson itself.
I'm sure.
Was there much contact between the Wesleyan Methodist Church and the churches in Clemson?
That I could not answer. I don't know how that was because I didn't know that much about church work at that time.
But as far as you know, during your time in the church, there were not any joint religious activities in terms of services, local missions projects, or other types of things.
Right.
So they were pretty much separate. Let's go back to Calhoun. One of the people who must have lived close to you was Jane Prince. Do you remember her?
Yes.
And what can you tell us about her?
Well, she lived just across the street and up toward the Cochrans. Might say a town block from where we lived. And she was pretty much an invalid by the time that we came to that part of the town. But one thing I could say about her, that people that would go to see her would often go away feeling that they had gotten a blessing rather than blessed her too much.
Well, that's a good thing to say about her, isn't it?
And I believe that she at one time was a housemaid, maybe for Clemson. For some of the officials, I believe it was Clemson himself, Thomas Clemson.
Do you remember any of the other people from Calhoun? Hal Boggs, the Doyles?
Yes, I remember Hal Boggs. And how come me to be thinking of his house? His house was out there toward the lake from... Perhaps you know where the location of it was.
That's on what is now Mountain View Drive.
Yeah. I don't know those streets the way that they have them made up now.
Well, I suspect back when you were living there, the streets hardly had names, and people just knew where everybody lived.
When I was living there, it was the 6 Mile Road. It went around his house, back down and crossed the War Branch, and... Where did we cross? Yeah, we crossed the branch pretty close to where the subway, where the subway across there is now, and into the same road and out over by, and then on the road out there going out toward 6 Mile, there was a. The lady was a Cochran before she married. Now, who did she marry?
that would have been Mamie Crawford, I imagine.
Yeah, well, Mamie Crawford was one, too, but just on the other side of the road there, there was a lady that was Cochran before she married, and she married a fellow that worked in the store. When we lived there at Calhoun, he worked in the store at Seneca. I can't call his name. It just slipped from my mind presently. But
when you moved to Calhoun, go ahead.
Mr. Lawrence and I built that rock chimney there to that house for him. And he has a son that we hear from on the radio all along. I don't know why, I can't remember their name.
Well, some of the people who lived down that way were the Kings. Is that who you're talking about?
No. The Kings lived on this side of War Branch, mm-hmm. before you crossed.
But you're talking about people on the other side.
No, King, at that time, King lived back on this side of the, just across the railroad, up this side of the Church of God Church. But we built his house where he lives now, down on the old 6 Mile Road.
Do you remember when the Church of God building was put up?
Yes, but I couldn't say the year. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say that I remember the year that it was built.
Approximately when?
I guess it was not too far from the time that we moved from down there and built out here, but I can't go to the date, but I remember when they were building that. In fact, I remember when Walter Pike lived in that house there. There's another resident of Calhoun, Walter Pike, and George Pike. Both of them lived on the left of the highway out to 6 Mile now.
Were those two brothers?
Yes.
You said Walter Pike lived there. Did they use his house for the church, or did they tear it down?
I believe his house is still there, and I think it belongs to the church, but I think it's still there. They probably use it as a parsonage. I don't know.
But the church was built from the ground up.
Yeah. I just can't get it in my mind exactly how that is, but I think that Walter Pike's house is still there. Then directly across that street was where another Crawford lived, Cliff Crawford, and he ran the cleaner's place at Clemson at that time.
Was that for the college or just in town?
It was...
Was he employed by the college, or did he have his own shop?
I think he must have had his own shop. I don't know for sure. The Lawrence cleaners that are there now came on down from his work. Mm-hmm. I see it went to Botiford first, I believe, and then Lawrence bought it from Botiford.
So they're in the same place. The cleaners is in the same place it has been.
Well, pretty much in the same. I think they built a new building, but pretty much the same.
Did you know the Doyles in Calhoun?
I knew of them. I didn't personally know Colonel Doyle, but I heard a lot about him.
What are some of your fondest memories of Calhoun?
Oh, I don't know. It was in our early married life. Our son was born while we lived there. Our daughter was born in Pickens before the time that we went from here to Pickens and stayed for a couple of years. Our daughter was born then, and our son then was born after we moved back to Calhoun. I guess that would be...
You said your son was born there. Was he born at home?
Yeah.
With a doctor or a midwife?
Doctor. Dr. Bearden.
From Calhoun or where?
From Central.
Did Calhoun have a doctor?
No, I don't think so. Well, I'm sure not.
When was your son born?
Oh, in 1929.
Okay, that raises a question. Did you have a telephone at that time so you could telephone the doctor?
No.
How did you get hold of him?
This good friend of mine that I worked with and for, and then he worked for me later, ran the Central and told Dr. Bearden to come down to our place.
Did you have a car at that time?
I don't. Yes, I guess I had a makeshift of a car, maybe not too good a one.
Central was only 4 miles away, but the roads weren't that good then either,
yeah.
So it took longer than today.
Yeah.
Do you remember when you first got telephones?
Well, the first telephone we had was when we built over here in this this stone house over here next, a part of old Norm's place now. We got with Tate, who had a line out to his place, and we agreed to keep up the line from there back to town and keep it repaired and all, and add on a phone to our house and have it a parted line.
Do you remember what year that would have been?
It was the late 30s, I guess.
Was there telephone service in Calhoun then? You said you did not have a phone.
I would think so, yeah.
But you didn't have one there.
I didn't have one.
Do you remember when you got electricity in the house?
Well, I had electricity when I built the house at Calhoun.
So that was in 29, was it, 28?
Yeah, about 29. We came back here in 28, and we built either late in 28 or in 29.
And did you have indoor plumbing then?
No.
So that wasn't available yet. Did you ever have it while you lived in that house?
Yes, we put in plumbing before we moved out of that house.
So sometime in the 1930s.
Well, we moved out of that house, in somewhere in the late 30s, after 30, I'd say later, between 35 and 40, we moved in the stone house over here, and I planted that little tree that's there in the yard in 1940 or 41.
But you said that
now,
you
I said that little tree, I
yes.
mean that big spreading tree there.
Large.
I planted that tree.
Well, since you were involved in construction, I'm sure that you had whatever was available in Calhoun at the time in terms of electricity or plumbing or just about anything else.
Well, I wasn't in construction very much until I came here. I guess you know that I am the Summey that was Newton and Summey that built this place over here where old Norm is now. We started. Naaman Newton and I were partners, and we built it and operated for 20 years, I guess, or more. I don't remember now how long. We stayed together for a number of years, and then we separated, and I went out just contracting as an individual, and he stayed on there, and his son came on up and came into it, and then we operated as Newton and Summey. Then they operated as Clemson Lumber Company for a while, and then they sold out to old Norm. Incidentally, he's still of the Newton family. He married a Newton.
Mm-hmm. So stayed in with it. There is, not too far from you, a Summey Street. Is that name for you, I assume?
Yes. I owned that property and built several of those little houses back there behind the lumber yard. And that, in fact, if you went to Pickens, I think you'd find on the record that that little area back in there is Summerville.
So you have it named for you as well?
No, I didn't have it done. I was talking with Mr. Wyatt, who was our attorney at that time, regarding some papers or something like that, and he says, "And now, what shall we say that where this is?" He says, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to name that little area there Summerville." And as far as I know, he put it on the records, and I think it would show on the records at Pickens that that area there back of Old Norm's, well, where his building is. I had bought that from the Boggs sisters. Back to the Boggs. No, they were not Boggs. They were Payne. Their mother was a Boggs, and she was the sister to Hal Boggs. And
that would be Gracia and Eva Payne.
That's right. They sold me that. I believe it was 17 acres back there, back of that place, and I built several of those houses back there. And Mr. Wyatt, Julian Wyatt, said, "I've got to have a name for the place," and says, "I'm going to call it Summerville." As far as I know, it's on record like that. I never have asked for the records at Pickens to see, but.
When you first moved to Calhoun, about how many houses would you guess would have been there then? It was a small village, really.
I really wouldn't know.
Small enough that you would have known the names of everybody in town?
Most everybody, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Some of them have come back to me as we would talk, you know.
Probably small enough you could just about shout to everybody in town.
The Pikes and the Cochran's and Cochran's son-in-law and then Mrs. Smith's son-in-law, Charlie Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you know Charlie.
Yes.
Near Charlie. Charlie's dead, isn't he?
Yes, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. 25.
He lived just across. He built there on that. Did you say it was Calhoun Street now?
Yes.
You know where his place is, I guess. Right next to Miss Sophie Dillard. And he married Miss Smith's daughter. Of course, you know that, I guess.
Well, one of the things that seemed to have happened with the Smiths is that my grandmother would take her children with her to church, whether they wanted to or not, so I guess that was pretty much the custom of the day. You took your children.
The two youngest children, I guess. The youngest one, Edna Alice, attended the little church where her grandmother did.
And you took.
That's her mother, wasn't
that's
it?
That's her mother.
Her mother.
You took your children along with you.
Oh yes.
And so I suppose there must have been a lot of children in the church.
There wasn't a whole lot, but it was. Fairly good little Sunday school.
Anything else you remember about the church that we ought to know?
Now you're still speaking of that this church out here grew out of.
Right. What was the church originally known as? This one is called Clemson, but it wouldn't have been known as
Calhoun.
Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, in the Hilson book, it refers to a Smith Chapel. I wonder if that could have been an earlier name for the same group.
No.
That's somewhere
else. That's out from Central.
In the other direction.
On back of Norris over there. It's still there.
Okay, well, what else?
It shows the picture of it. And I think it shows the picture and so forth. But it had no relation more than just being of the same denomination.
What else, then, can you tell us about the Calhoun Wesleyan Methodist?
Well, I guess that's about, I have all grandmother, did you say if she was your grandmother, Louis?
Yes.
She was the organist. And this, no reflection, no mean reflection, whatever. But she'd get her book and start singing and maybe be halfway through a song before anybody else knew what song she was playing. Oh.
Speaking of the organ, you have a very attractive one by the Shipman Organ Company from High Point, I believe.
Well, I didn't remember what the organ was like, only it was an organ when at first, and I guess that, coming back to the Boggs family, Mrs. Agnes Boggs had a foster daughter. She was really not her daughter, but she grew up in her home. Mary Boggs had come to be pretty good in music, but she liked piano better than she did the organ, and she made it not real strong appeal, I guess, but she had a desire, and she let it be known that she had a desire that we would arrange for piano, and we did. And this Mr. Lawrence and I went to Greenville and picked up one and put a piano in the church.
Nowadays, churches have to be locked up fairly carefully. You had a piano and an organ. Was the church building ever locked?
Well, we discarded the organ when we got the piano. We didn't have both at the same time.
Well, did you lock the church building?
Yes, I think so.
I also wanted to ask you, I assume with such a small church that it would not have had a very large budget. Were the ministers paid on a full-time basis, or did they have to have some other occupation and get paid only for preaching on Sunday?
Well, they just got back that far. I don't think that they ever had a set salary up on perhaps a... Well, they did too. Three or four years before we moved up here, they had a set salary, but not sufficient to live on. They had to have some way of... Now, this man Harvey that I referred to as being the first pastor, T.C. Mm-hmm. Harvey, he came back and pastored there a year. And he worked for Naaman and I while he pastored the church. And that helped with his support. And then G.L. Stewart was a pastor there for about 10 years, or 10 or 11 years. And of course, he was well enough to do that he could... He could make it without too much remuneration, and just whatever that the church thought that they could give, I guess, is what he accepted.
Are there any other things you remember about the church and the people in it? How long did the services last?
Sometimes too long.
2 hours? Hour and a half?
Yes, when it was, when we would have Sunday school and preaching at the same service, it would last all of 2 hours, if not more.
And what did people do afterwards? Did they go home and cook lunch?
I suppose.
So church didn't mind people cooking on Sunday?
Well, they would prepare the main part of their meals before Sunday, but they probably would do a little bit of bread or some light cooking on Sunday. Well, but I don't know of any restrictions as far as fixing a meal on Sunday.
Let's talk about other religious restrictions. Was the church opposed to drinking and to liquor?
Well, sure.
Okay, what about dancing?
Sure, they're opposed to that.
Card playing?
Yes.
What about, did the young ladies or women wear makeup?
Back in the earlier years, no. Very little. And very little jewelry.
I understand also that the younger girls or even the ladies were not supposed to cut their hair.
Yeah. When they first began to cut their hair, she worked with her hair more. I tell her has more trouble than all my money. But
talking about your wife,
she
still got my hair.
She still has her hair.
She's
one of those. Smoking was against the. That's against the discipline of the Wesleyan. Well, it is of the Wesleyan Church as of today.
Did the church spend a lot of time preaching against these things, or were they simply understood by everybody that they should?
Different ones would. Some would. I guess you would call it more or less ride a hobby, and they would go to extremes, while others would not, and. I don't know just how to state that, but that was the situation.
Was the church able to have a service every Sunday?
Every Sunday?
Yes.
Yes, we had service every Sunday.
In some earlier days, ministers often were not available that frequently.
Now, I don't know before I was there whether they had service every Sunday or not, but I suppose they did from at least from 1922 on up.
Did you ever have occasion to go to another nearby church, Lawrence Chapel?
Lawrence Chapel?
Yes.
Not unless it was to a funeral or some special occasion. I've always been somewhat maybe prejudiced, and I don't think I've been prejudiced. I consider it loyalty to be in the church that I was a part of and to help support it.
Well, I'm sure the church appreciated that, and I thank you for your time this afternoon. It's been very helpful. Let me also ask whether or not your church has kept records from the early years and whether they still exist.
Not permanent. I think that nowadays, maybe for the last 25 years, that there has been a better record kept of the church, this church out here, than there ever had been before.
Well, since there are not that many early records, which you've told us today is particularly helpful, and it will help preserve some of the history of the church, and I thank you for your time.